Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Owen Hughes Speaks. We're going to start with the national anthem. If I can get the board working here, we're going to have a problem with the board today. That's fine. There we go. Yes, sir, you just heard our national anthem. The age of freedom has come. But you have to work for it, okay? As if you're ready for it, they're going to just fall in your lap, okay? We're going to talk about love here for a few minutes. Love is an act that makes others feel good. And if you're doing something that makes the other person feel good all the time, then you're in a feel-good relationship. And that's a nice place to be, you know? Because we deserve to be happy. And the whole thing is that if you're not loving each other properly, how are we going to get together in groups? How are we going to get together with each other? we won't be able to do anything together. And that's what's going on right now. We have all kinds of problems because we don't actually know what love is. And this culture thinks, teaches love as an obsession, but it's not. It's really learning how to treat the person, knowing what the person's needs are, and being there for that person, you know? That's basically what's going on. That's when we're talking about love. That's what love is all about. This 8 o'clock is a little rough, but I think we can make it through. I have to get used to it. So, that's basically where we're at. We're talking about love. Love is the act that makes us feel good. You know, to one God, one aim, one destiny. That's our slogan, okay? And that's what we do. So I like to, I meant to open up with an assertion, which I didn't. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reap what you sow. By doing this, I will be walking the path of the enlightened, and I will get what I want. Okay? We do that 10 times in the morning when we get up, right? And like I said, our slogan is love is an act and make others feel good. If you're one God, one aim, one destiny. Okay? Now, let's move right along into the next session of the program. The main thing we're talking about is we're in the politics. So we're going to be talking about politics for about an hour, and that everybody should be jumping on this line for politics. But we have to get used to the time. That 8 o'clock is a little tricky, because that's when most people are getting ready to do stuff. 7 o'clock is good, but 8 o'clock is a little tricky. But we'll get used to each other at 8 o'clock, okay? Now, the question on the board. The question on the board is, why should we vote? And that's a very interesting question, you know. I mean, think about it. You work every day, got your little job, okay? And if you got your little job, why, what can you do to government? What can you do in reference to government? You're not in a position to make no rules. You're not in a position to make no laws. The only thing that you have that you can count on is your vote, you know? So this is why we should vote. We should vote because that's the only methodology that we have of changing or doing anything within the framework of the government. You don't have no control over the police department. You don't have no control over sanitation. You don't have no control over anything. Everything seems to be out of your control, you know? Now, we get a chance to vote for judges. Now, the judges are acting stupid. We get to vote up. We can get to vote the judges out, too. So we want to get the representative of the people. Now, the reason why the vote is important is because the United States is a criminal empire. You just go in and look at the way it got started. Killing, murdering, robbing, stealing, everything they got. Through your vote, you can begin voting people in to help decriminalize the system. You can vote people in that are not crooks. A lot of times you can't tell if they're going to be a crook until they get in there. And once they get in, they start stealing everything, huh? But most of the people that are running, they aren't crooks. And it's a little tricky because they're so used to the crooks running and taking everything, you know, that we don't really know what the honest people look like no more. So we have to figure out who's who and what's what, okay? Now, people always wonder, why am I voting? What's the point of voting, you know? That's the only leverage you have. You don't have no other control over nothing, you know? And if you participate in the voting process, dealing with the candidates and all that, a lot of times they get to know you, your congressmen, your senators and all that. They get to know who you are because you support them, and then when you call them, ask them for something, you're more than likely to get some type of response from them, okay? But if you don't do anything, you just sit back year after year, dependent on everybody else to run government, then you're kind of going to be in trouble. Because the only way to decriminalize this thing is that you have to start putting people in office that aren't criminals. And it's hard to say who's a criminal, who's not a criminal. You put these suckers in office, next thing you know, they're in there stealing everything. Okay. I also like to say, since this is, we're talking about politics and voting, anytime you want to jump in, just hit one and raise your hand. Let me know that you have something to say, or you want to make a comment, or you want to get in the middle of this dialogue. The question on the table right now is, why should we vote? That's the only leverage you have. Think about it. You go to work every day. You bring your money home. That's the only leverage you have is voting for these guys, you know? And if they know that you're going to be an active participant, that you're really into what government's doing and what government's all about, it's important that you do vote, okay? Now, the next thing we have on for, what's the purpose of voting in Congress, people, judges, and mayors? I mean, think about it. These people are making rules and statutes that are governing your lives. And if you don't participate in the system, you don't participate in how this thing runs, there's nothing you can do to change this thing. This definitely is a criminal empire, you know, and we can decriminalize it by trying to get people in there to vote. Now, I'm in the process of setting up a GoFundMe page. What I'd like is for, it's going to be a political GoFundMe page. Everybody just put in $10. And can you imagine if the 99%, everybody put in $10, we'd have more money than the 1%. Because the real power, the real political power is for people. You are the real power. But they got you so convinced that, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that, that you're letting things get by you. You're letting them run the system when you actually can participate by the person that you put in. And if they know that if they're not doing a good job, you're going to vote them out, they would do better. Trust me, they would do better because they make a pretty good little salary in there with the gifts and all that stuff they be getting from people. Oh, trust me, they be getting paid in there, you know. Until one of the adversaries come along and rat them out, you know. But all of them do that. All of them take the little gifts and get little paid and stuff like that. This is how they get them big houses and stuff that they have. But voting is essential. You really, really need to get in there and use the only right that you have to determine who's going to govern your life. Who's going to make up the rules for the next 4 or 5 years, well, I said 4 years, of what you're going to do, what you're going to be. Now, when you think about this guy we got in the White House now, oh, my goodness. I just laugh every time I think about saying anything about this guy. You know, Mama used to say, if you can't say nothing good about a person, don't say nothing at all. But this guy we got in the White House, I just need to keep quiet because I don't have nothing good to say about this guy. He's not only a terrible president, but he's a terrible human being, you know. And this is why it's so important for you to vote. What the Elijah Muhammad used to say, Satan or the devil, right? So Hillary would have been Satan and Trump would have been the devil. So we got the devil in there. And if you look at the stuff that he's doing, you know, and you wonder, well, they got all the money, they got the slush funds, they got the PAC money and everything else. But we as a people can become a PAC. All we have to do is put up money that goes for voting candidates and all that kind of stuff, you know. And if the 99% got together, just $10 a piece, I forget how many millions of people here in this country, all right? So if there's 2 or 3 million, everybody put, let's say, $10 a month in the fund, right? That's, you know, that's like $10-15 million a month, okay? If we got 2 million people, that's $20 million a month, all right, that will go into a fund where you can help support and run your candidates. See, and now the 1%, they got the money, but they can't keep that $20 million a month going on forever, whereas you can do that because it's only $10 a month for you. Yeah? Obama figured this out, too. That's why he started taking small amounts of money from everybody. He wanted them to have enough money to do whatever he had to do because you are the real power of this thing. All right? You're the real power of the country, not the politicians, not the governors and the senators. They're not the real power. The people are the real power, and they know that. They don't want you to know that, but they know that, okay? So if the mayor knows you because you help support his campaign, okay? The judges know you because you help support their campaign, all right? When something go down and you call a judge, he remembers you. Oh, Mr. So-and-so. Yeah, well, I'll look into it because he knew that you was very active in helping him get in the office. You feel me? Now, they know that if they don't do a good job, you'll vote them right out. So that's going to make them step up. That's going to make them do a little better, you know? Now, the next the next question that I have on the board, right? Now, remember, if you have a comment, if you want to say this, hit 1 on your dial, and now let me know that you have a comment or something that you want to say, okay? The next question I have on the board is, should we participate in the census? Okay. Now, the census is very interesting because this whole thing is deep. There's a lot we need to know about the census. We do have a hand up. I'm going to bring them in right now because I don't know what the comment is or what they're going to say. So I'm bringing them in right now before I go into the next portion. We got 1929. I see you got your hand up. You have a comment or a statement you want to say about what's going on? We're talking about politics today, boy.
Good evening, Brother Elohim. This is Brother Mac.
Yes, sir.
And I'm hearing you outline in your way the very reason that they don't want us to vote. When I say us, I mean we, you and me. They don't want us to vote because as you stated, they know the power of the power lies in the hands of the voters.
That's right.
And so from the beginning, they have by law, at first they prevented us from voting because we weren't a man, and then after Reconstruction, they let us vote. And we actually almost took over the Congress and the House of Representatives with people who had formerly been slaves.
Right.
And then after Lincoln was killed, a deal was struck with his successor, President Johnson, who allowed Jim Crow to rule in the South, wherein the former slaves had actually been put in charge, President Andrew Johnson let Jim Crow take over, and eventually we reached the state of affairs where we are right now. We're still trying to get people registered to vote in the southern states and in the northern states. And I think we sometimes overlook the fact that a lot of us in the northern states came from the southern states, and the legacy of voter suppression and Jim Crow has come with us. And so over time, I think we've sort of developed the attitude, it ain't going to do any good anyway. And so we have to be taught all over again the power that is incumbent in our being able to vote our representatives in or out. You're doing a great service by bringing this to our attention in a way that we can understand that, you know. I don't want to go on and on, but I think sometimes we have a tendency to lose perspective. For instance, we are afraid of the police, and we forget that we hire the police.
Well, that's true. They literally, well, actually, when you really stop and think about it, okay, the police is the corporate cops. And the only one mm-hmm. that really has jurisdiction over you is the sheriff's department, because you vote the sheriff in.
Right.
The police department, basically, when they lock you up, they're making a citizen's arrest. But since they got
right.
the gun, you acquiesce to what they're saying. Now, we got another hand up here. I'd like to bring him in right away. I don't want to wait too long. So just hold that thought for a minute. We got 5828. Your mic is open. You have a comment or a statement, something you want to say here?
Yeah, peace, Brother Elohim. This is Brother Siddiqui.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing black like every day, fam. You know, and staying alive, you know.
Yeah.
But the subject matter of voting, I really hadn't been thinking about voting like that, being, you know, a system that's actually been set up to actually keep us in place, keep us in order. Everything is catered to their laws, to what they're implemented as a government, a conquered land, which they dictate the outcomes of many things, you know, and many of the rules. Of course, we had an opportunity to so-called take over, what we want to say, the government, because of the fact that the Republican voted individuals that was Africans, for ex-slaves, they had the position to be able to really grow the country at a particular time, which it was one of the most hostile period of times of this society. I only think about voting if the fact that we are running our own political organization that we need to rally around, you know, of our own party, whatever our outcome can be to get ourselves in a better political situation in this system. That's how it should go. We should not be giving our votes to people that does not represent us, don't look like us. So if we have a candidate or a political organization like the Jewish community does, like the Hasidic community especially, how they vote in a block, I'm pretty sure the Chinese community, they do the same thing. They vote in blocks. Hispanic community, they bond and vote in their own block. Us Africans, with an agenda attached to it, most of the time, their agenda and what it is that they're looking for when they approach a politician, it's respected, because that's the only way they're going to get their votes. We don't do that.
Well,
we're so fragmented. Our commitment to being just for us seem to be an intimidating factor, an intimidating philosophy to embrace, you know what I mean? So once we can realize that if we're going to vote, we have to create a candidate of any kind of wherever we are located that is going to take a full interest in his campaign or her campaign initiative to be able to run the things that we desire for our own community. We can no longer continue to have someone that don't have our best interests at hand when we go out to vote. And it's hard to go out to vote for these people in day in, day out, and find ourselves in the same predicament. We gave this strong enthusiasm for putting Barack Obama in there. I'm not going to say the first black president. He's the first African and American president, which has no past history of many of us who have been in bondage in this country. But at the same time, that's the reason why that I'm not too enthused about voting in that structure, in this system, because if we don't have a candidate that represents it, then it's no need for me to put forth a vote.
Any candidate that's out there, whatever one of the tribes that they represent, black, brown, red, yellow, or white, any candidate out there has the potential to be a good person. So what we need to do, instead of if we can't, we don't have the money to put up our own candidates. Well, we have the money, but we're not dealing like that. If we don't have our own candidates that we have trained and prepared for these offices, then we have to participate or vote for the best candidate that's available. And yeah, I think we don't realize this is our country. And the only voice you have right now is that vote. And when they can get you to the point that you feel like, well, I'm not going to vote because of this and because of that, any reason that they discourage you from fighting to decriminalize this country, they win. So that's their main focus. Their main focus is to get you off balance so that you say, well, I'm not going to participate. I don't want to get involved in that. And they love that, you know, because the less votes, yes, sir.
Brother Elohim, what you're describing is the results of psychological warfare, and we have not reached a point of consciousness where we realize that we're actually at war, and the war that we are in is a psychological war. It's well known in psychological war that if you can convince the enemy that he has no chance of prevailing against you, then he won't fight. And that has been very successful with us. They have convinced us over a 500-year period that it does no good.
You're breaking up. Okay, his call, for some reason, he fell off the line. I don't know what happened. So he'll call back in. But that's what he's talking about is absolutely correct. We're talking about psychological warfare. Now, the next question that's on the board is, should we participate in the census? You know, most of us don't understand what the census is and what the census means. The census is the government gives X amount of dollars to the state based on how many people live in the state. And since we're talking about the census, there's something in the Constitution that we're talking about 3/5 of a human being. Well, we have been misreading that for a long time. At that particular time, we were considered property. And when they took the census count, we can only declare 3/5 of our property for the census to get money back from the government. That's what that was about. It wasn't about them saying that we were 3/5 of a human being. It was about the census. So that's what we need to study more. We need to learn more about what's actually going on, because we have to come to the realization this is our government, not theirs. And if we want to do something about it, each individual got to stand up and fight, got to stand up and, like Brother Mac was saying, got to stand up and go to war about what's going on. Now, I'm going to bring Mike's, he called back in. Let me bring Brother Mac's mic back on. I don't know what happened. He just dropped off for a minute. Brother Mac, your mic is back open again.
I don't know what happened, Brother Elohim. All of a sudden, I realized that my phone had gone blank. I guess I can always blame it on them and the conspiracy, right?
It's easy. That's the easiest way to go. Oh, big brother, then put it together. You know. So right now we're talking about the senses right now, and the misconception of the three-fifths of a human being that we're talking about in the Constitution. But that's not what that's about. At the time, we were considered property. And when you take the census, the government gives you X amount of dollars. And we were only allowed to declare three-fifths of our property, which is the people that we own. That's what that was all about. I hear people misquoting that constitutional thing. That's why I had to read it myself. I said, wait a minute, they got this thing wrong here. And we at this point now, we're talking about the census now. So X amount of dollars come back to your state based on you taking the census count, based on them counting the people. So the question is, should we take the census? Should we be counted to get that money in, you know? Well, that's the question on the board right now.
Indeed. I think it's interesting that even with the census, they have come up with a way to keep us from voting or from being a formidable bloc, in that you are asked.
That's the commercial. That's the commercial kicking in. That changed around.
Okay.
We got a little music coming in for the commercial. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to run the commercial. Now, y'all bear with me on this commercial now. It's about 5 minutes long, all right? I was going to tone it down a little bit, but I like to give a shout out to the brothers and sisters that are helping people do stuff, you know? Can you hear me over the music? This is Elohim 5 Trials Radio. I present Elohim Speaks at 8, from 8 to 9 p.m. The call-in number is 516-453-9230. Press 1 if you have a comment or you want to say something. If you want to give us a shout-out about your business or whatever, you can advertise. We don't charge you no money to advertise your business, okay? And most of the people that do call in and advertise, I'll add them to my list and I'll advertise for them. But sometimes we don't call in every day, you know? This is the format. Monday, we talk about health. Tuesday, we talk about history. Wednesday, we talk about politics. Thursday, we talk about economics. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, question on the board is why you think your religion is better than everybody else's. The question on the board. So we should get a lot of talking about that over the weekend, right? Now, we don't mention your name unless you want us to. We only use the last 4 digits of the phone number. So if you have a company or group and you want to give a shout out, please feel free to do so, okay? let's see where I'm at here. Oh, we now have released a gospel CD called the 911 Jesus Emergency. So if you want to support the station or whatever you're doing, you go to Amazon or YouTube, listen to the album, or purchase a couple of albums, purchase the CD, and that will help us out a lot. Now, I do have a problem out there because I went on eBay to check the album out. They charged $25 for the album CD. That took me out. It's called Jesus is Coming, and the link is CD Baby/CD/ Elohim Christ number 2. That will take you right to CD Baby. You can buy, you can just purchase one song, or you can purchase the whole CD. It's up to you. And I'm on YouTube, so you can click on YouTube, Elohim Christ 10 tracks, Jesus is Coming, and I will give you all the songs you can listen again, okay? This is how we're able to stay on the air by selling the CDs and things like that. We have a book out too. And now we have to ask ourselves, when Jesus comes back, where is he coming from? We think he's coming from the same place he came from the first time, from the goddess's womb. So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping, because the child you dump might just be the one that's going to get us out of this mess, okay? So So don't take our chance away from us. And brothers, you got to step up and spend time with the sisters as well, okay? Take care of them babies, because it takes two to tangle. It takes more than one person to make them. It takes more than one person to take care of them, okay? Don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures, Part 2, Christ Has Come. For more information on the CD or book, call TCCA at 215-758-1703. From 9 to 5. Also, I'm in the gold business. Yes, I do. It's called Carabas. So, if you want to find out more about buying and selling gold, give me a call, 215-758-1703. And please don't forget to visit my website at elchristelaim.website.com/website. That'll take you right to my website. Okay. Now. I would like to give a shout out to Horace Butler for his Black History book, When Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces. I also would like to give a shout out to Legacy of a Nation show hosted by Bob Mack and Son. It comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. They talk about Black history, health, economics, and politics. The call in number is 319-527-6144. I would like to give a shout out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube, and she's under the name of Kamitra Lemon. She has a spoken word, and the word she speaks is pretty good, too. I like what she has to say. I'd like to give a shout out to Nikki Love. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. Call in number 347-215-8040. You can also get to her website, NikkiLoveWunam.com, okay? I'd like to give a shout-out to Division 121, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, UNIACL, 1918 and 1929 of the world. We meet every week. For more information, contact President Marquis, UNIA at 267-822-2320, and or 267-300-7144. Or Elohim. I'm one of the vice presidents of the division. You can contact me too for more information. 215-758-1703. I remember my own number, right? That's from 9 to 5, okay? UAIA, they're offering land to build in Africa. So if you want to get your hands on some land, you want to buy a few things, just contact Brother Siddiqui at 609-638-5828. And he also makes designer clothes, buttons and stuff. I got one of those suits, man. I look good in it too, you know. Let's give him a call, and he can hook you up. We got Safe More Electronics. They do electronics. He's certified and pretty good. Their calling number is 215-909-3352 from 9 to 5. And we have one brother that does his security. He texted me the information, but I didn't have time to get to it. So he's looking for people to hire. So if you're interested in a job for security, just call 336-988-638. And tell Elohim told you to call, and he'll hook you up, okay? I would like to give a shout-out to Thomas Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old-school style in Philadelphia. He has 6 CDs on the market. So just Google CD Babies and type in Yesterday's Child, or then you can call Thomas Thornton for more information, 267-259-4077, okay? I also like to give a shout-out to Taylor Path Learning Academy, licensed and certified. She's a registered nurse who's currently in medical school and will soon be a doctor, God beloved. Taylor Path has a before and after school service in the West Philadelphia area. So for the best quality children's service, call 610-638-8352 from 6 to 8 p.m., from 6 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Our email address is taylortodslearningacademy@gmail.com, Instagram, taylor_todds_LA. Now we'll take you to Instagram. I would like to give a shout-out to our naturopathic healers. That would be Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 631-561-3864. So if you're sick and you're not calling one of these guys, you deserve to be sick. No, nobody deserves to be sick. So just give them a call, and don't worry, be healthy. Okay, that takes care of my commercial. I was thinking about breaking up in a different section, but I kind of I kind of like to just do it all and get it out of the way at one time. Now we get back into the topic. I think 1920, I think Brother Mac, you had the floor at the time.
I think so. Brother Raheem, on your commercial, thank you very much. But I think that when you gave the number for Legacy of a Nation, Brother Mac, I think you said the last four you gave was 6199 or 6144, but it should be 6199.
Okay, it should be 6199. Let me go down here right quick and make sure that I don't do that every day, because we're going to be running this commercial every day. I don't want to. Yeah, I got 6199. That's what I have down here. 319-527-6199.
Yes, sir.
So,
okay, very well.
So maybe I didn't say it right or something. A lot of times I say one thing, we heard something else. But at any rate, you're right.
I appreciate the shout out. But I was thinking of the situation that we are in regarding the census and regarding voting. Is we have a whole nation of people who have been psychologically beaten down and don't believe that that our vote counts, because we have been shown in so many ways over the decades and even over the centuries that no matter what we do, the result is still going to come out that we're going to be on the bottom of the pile. And I think it has sunk in to the extent that we have a nation of people who can vote but have lost the faith that the vote would do any good. Now, when it comes to President Obama having been selected and elected, you were right in that he is not a descendant of slaves. Nonetheless, he is African. He is African American in a way that we are not, because we are actually Aborigines. We are Aborigines, and he's African American. But I think we need to be aware that the census is designed to keep us from being a solid block with the ability to move all of us at once, and we are over 50 million. There were 50 million of us, which makes us the 26th largest nation in the world by volume.
So you, am I hearing you correctly? Are you saying that we shouldn't take the census, that we shouldn't be counted?
Not at all. I think we need to be aware of how it's structured, so that we have 50 million people, with some of us who call ourselves black, some call ourselves African American, some call ourselves colored, some call ourselves other. You understand? And with each division, we separate ourselves from unity and the ability to vote or act as one unit. And we need to be aware of that. And because someday when we are conscious of how the thing is structured and what it means, when we divide ourselves up into five or six different groups, we're the same people when it comes to treatment, but when we divide ourselves between colored and Negro and black and African American and other and mixed, you understand?
Well, actually, That's the first problem that we have to solve, because I was Googling and I typed in blacks in China. They didn't know what I meant. You know what I mean? They went to Nigerians and this, that, and the other. But blacks in China, there is no race. There is no ethnicity called black. So the computer didn't know what to look for. So I think that we need to begin coming together and determine who we actually are. And I think that if we go back into the, we can't go back into the Constitution, because we were referred to as Negroes in the Constitution. Am I correct?
That is right.
So we were referred to as Negroes in the Constitution. Now, in Spanish, Negro means black. So there is no race called, there is no race or country called Negro either. So now starting to call ourselves African Americans, which actually better identifies us than anything else, because the Americas is who we are. And all of us come from Africa. So being an African-American is close to who we actually are than anything else that we can come up with from my perspective. You follow what I'm saying? So, but you got a lot of people that don't want to be called an African-American, like some of the religious groups. They don't want to be identified as African. Like the Hebrew Israelites, they don't want to be identified as African, you know, and they don't like Africa. Africans are our brothers, and now this is the talk that they're giving out there, you know. So we have a lot of misunderstanding going on out there, and it's really, really bad. It's really bad. Those who listen, sometimes if you plug in the Sonnetta TV, you can listen to some of these guys and what they be saying about themselves and who they think they are, you know. Go ahead, Brother Matt.
Well, I think that it's important that our consciousness be raised to the extent that we can decide who we are and what we are. But as it is right now, we are fractionated, and each division means that we don't have the power of being one block, and we are, I think as a people, we're largely unaware that we are fractionated to the extent that people in the same household can be colored, they can be black, they can be African American, they can be other, and they can be mixed, all brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and parents, you understand? And I think we don't realize the significance of being of one mind and deciding for ourselves what we are going to be called.
Yeah, I think that each individual, right, should make that decision, and we need to talk to other individuals about what we decide to call ourselves. And I think that if we are like African American, basically for me, that's it, knowing what I know about the Americas and about Africa. But see, now we come into the thing that Africa's not the name of the continent, for real, for real.
Right.
They say that was named after a Roman general named Africanus, who just only had a little portion of the continent. But other historians say that's not true. You know, so even calling the continent what it is, you know, they call it Kubalan and Kubalan. You know, they have so many different names for the continent. And so that creates a problem as well. So we need to do the Africans. Well, we need to start thinking like this: what we're going to call ourselves, and how we're going to identify to our children as to who we are, and that's the biggest problem, because the children growing up, they don't know what to call themselves, you know.
It's naturally confusing to the children when they're coming from parents who even the mother and the father may not agree as to what they should be called. It would be the equivalent of the mother being of one political party and the father being another, and the child has to decide which side he's going to be on, or if he's even going to participate. But my thinking is that our consciousness has to be raised, and it has to be raised by us, by actually talking about what has happened to us and why we are the way that we are. Because we're the equivalent of an animal having been born in captivity, and all we know is the cage and what we learned while in it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That would mean that the parents at home would have to begin teaching the history. And
exactly.
They've convinced our parents that we actually don't have a history, that we started from slavery. And our history is so profound. In fact, African history is the missing parts of world history. You can't really have world history without having African history. So basically what they're doing is that they are nullifying our consciousness of who we are. That's what they don't want us to know. They don't want us to know who we actually really are. And by doing that, we will be able to step up and say, well, look, or as for my next question on the list, this is actually your government, and you have to run it. It's just that simple, you know? And once you realize that this is your government, you have to step up. You have to find out. You have to go down and talk to the block captain. Talk to the alderman. Talk to your state representative. And talk to these people. You have to go down and figure out what the chain of command is. And you have to teach your children the chain of command. Take your children with you. Let them see how government works so they can get involved in government. And this is what we're not doing. We're not taking charge of our government. And that's what
Indeed.
We're doing. With the vote and the census, we have to understand how the census work. And we know that they're moving us around, or they can just literally draw lines around us. It comes down to the vote. One guy, one senator, he said they drew a line. They drew a line around his house out of his district.
Right. Yeah. That's criminal. I'm thinking that kind of activity is leaning toward proving my contention that we have been conditioned over the centuries and the decades that no matter what we do, it won't make any difference as to who the winner is going to be. And you just gave an example. They can let's say if an African American is elected to office, or one that would have a lot of power, they can gerrymander a line around his house so that he's the only one in his district.
That's right. Ain't number him and white folks.
Yeah, so his district can come up with one vote, and so they
drew a line to take him out of his district and put him in another district. You know, where he didn't have no constituents in that district because he's not familiar with the people in that district, and he didn't run to take over that district. The district he was running for, they drew him out of that particular district.
Yeah, consider how important it is for us to become aware of what has been done, how it has been done, and who done it. Because as it is right now, we are always asking what happened. Because it's like watching a football game, and you don't know the rules of the game, and you haven't even noticed that they have two different colors of uniforms. All you see is a bunch of people running around down there on the ball field, and until you learn the rules of the game and realize that there are two teams down there, and that the guys in the striped shirts are the referees, you have no idea as to what is happening except a bunch of people running and tackling and bumping into each other.
Well, the first thing that we have to ask ourselves, how much politics did you teach your children when you were raising your children? You know what I'm saying? And that's where it all stems from. And most of us can say, no, we ain't taught our children nothing about no politics.
Right.
Because we were
right.
Politics at the time. And see, because we're not aware, as you say all the time, we're not aware that this is our government. This is
exactly.
Our land, and we have to literally step up and run the government, you know? And they start doing those little tricks that they're doing. You can get the congressmen and senators in place to pass a rule to stop that. But you have to get in the game, you know? If you're not in the game, it's like, even less you're using your football analogy, you know? If you sit in the stand, whatever's going on in the game, you're not a part of it. Whatever
exactly.
They're doing out there on the field, you ain't got nothing to do with that. The only thing you do is shout when something happened good or shout when something happened bad. We have to get in the game.
Yes, sir.
Until we literally get into the game, nothing's going to change to help decriminalize this organization, this government. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to decriminalize this government. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody that's on the line right now. And also, if you have a comment or something you want to say, just press 100 dial. Let me know that you want to get into this conversation. And they'll let me know that you have a hand up, and I'll cook you on right away, okay? Now, that brings us to the, let me see, was that the last question I had? My last question is, how come the independent candidates aren't winning? That's another question I had on the board for politics. It's like the independent candidates, they don't have a chance. But you have to think in terms of the Tea Party, you know? Even though they don't have enough clout to bring a president in, but they have enough clout to get enough to vote as a block in the Republican Party to really control what's going on in the Republican
right.
Party. So we have
indeed.
To start by the independents. They're all winning, but it's going to take some time for them to get, because you got so many Democrats and Republicans that's in office right now, that it's going to take a little bit of time for the independents to get some of those seats, because people don't believe they can win, you know?
That's
and we
fair.
Have to change the mind. We have to change the perception of what's going on with everything that's happening out there, you know. And right now with the news, Trump got so control over the news. I haven't heard nothing about an independent party at all. Have you?
Independent party? No. About what we're hearing is from the opposition party or the Democrats how to defeat Trump. And there's no talk of an independent party doing that. The question is how, but again, it's a matter and a method of confusing the public, so that they got us concentrating on defeating the man who is inevitably going to win if he lives, he's probably going to win. But
I hate to say this, but we are out of time. We got about 30 seconds left. So what I like to do once again is tell everybody I love you. Thank you all for being on the line. I like to do a closing assertion. I have walked the path of divine energy today. And did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. Okay? Now, I want to thank you, Brother Max, for being on the line. It's the same time at 8 o'clock. People still calling in. We got about 5 seconds here. And I just want to say our slogan is love is the act that makes others feel good. So one guy, one aim, one destiny. And I will talk some more tomorrow. Much love, guys.
Keep up the good work, Brother Elohim. Ready for it.
Well, thank you, my beloved. I appreciate you helping me out here. Okay.